Great morning, precious people. You know what time it is. That's right. It's time for your favorite talk show on the Stella Award-winning Praise 93.3 790 WTSK. It's the Culture Call with your boy, L. Spencer Smith. Indeed, this is the place where Tuscaloosa meets the world. And guess what? For the next 2 hours, from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., I'm excited right here to talk about everything. We're going to talk a little bit about society, the sports, education, the economics, from religion to relationships. And as always, y'all, always, we are here to create a safe space to have empowering, provocative, and yes, sometimes even controversial conversations. And guess what? You can call in or chat it up with me as we learn together right here on the Culture Call. You know what time it is. Shout out time. That's right. Shout out number one. Welcome to all of our first time listeners. Listen, if this is your first time or you haven't listened in a while and you're back again, hey, welcome back to the CC family. Oh, welcome to the CC family. We have saved a seat for you and so excited to have you on our journey this morning. It's going to be an amazing day. Hey, buckle up. It's going to be a little bumpy, but I promise you, we're going to get to our destination. Shout out number two to all of our faithful, consistent, that's right, committed listeners to the Culture Call. Yay! Hey, you make us what we are. That's right. You have been sticking with us and pushing us and encouraging us every day. And every time you see me, you give me a hug, some dap, a pat on my back. Yay. You let me know that I'm doing a great job in elevating our community, because that's exactly what we desire to do. So thank you. Find your seat. Hey, you know what to do. And last but not least, shout out number three to Brother Jay. That's right. Ah, I told you I'm going to get me some crowd noise or something in here. Hey. Shout out to Brother Jay for being the man with the plan, the sage, the wise man, absolutely, and who gives us this opportunity every morning, starting us off with this blazing hot baton with the best in inspirational and gospel music, and hands me that baton and says, hey, run on, see what the end is going to be. And that's what I'm trying to do every day that I come on the air. Now, he said, take care of me. He told y'all to be nice to me. Hey, and y'all always fulfill that. So don't let this day be any different, right? Of course. Hey, here's what I need you to do. Take out those cell phones. Take out those smart devices, whether they're Apple or Android, and go to your app store. Do me a great big old favor. That's right. Search in that search bar, Praise 93.3 FM. There you're going to find an app. Download that on your phone. I'm telling you, it is worth the download. It is worth the bytes or whatever the space on your phone. That's right. I'm telling you, you can listen to all of the amazing broadcasts that we have on Praise 93.3 and 790. You can see current events, sports. You can find out about the weather. That's right. The alerts, if there's any emergencies or any emergencies in the city, in the county, wherever they are, you can learn it from that app. That's right. You can do it and have it a total experience. So the app gives you the total experience without you having to be sitting there just listening to terrestrial radio. Guess what? You can vacuum. You can cook. You can do all you got to do. You can be riding around the street, the interstate, wherever you are. It does not matter. Go ahead and download that app. That's right. So no matter if you're in Dallas, Texas, New Orleans, Louisiana, Tallahassee, Florida, or right here in the beautiful city of Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Birmingham, Montgomery, Mobile, Huntsville, Reform, Aliceville, Utah, Boulder, G, Demopolis. It doesn't matter where you are. If you've got that app, you can stay plugged in to what's happening here. Hey, also, do me a favor. Do your boy a favor. Y'all, go ahead and send me your public service announcements and your events at, yeah, the culturecall.praise@gmail.com. That's culturecall.praise@gmail.com. And give me an opportunity to let Lottie Dottie and everybody know the amazing things that's going on at your church, your organization, your sororities, your fraternities. Maybe you're an artist getting ready to have a concert, or a preacher getting ready to run a revival. Hey, if you send me that note, we will say it on the air. We will announce it on the air so that everybody can put their faces in the place. You know how you feel when you got a packed house. That's right. But we want you to know, hey, that what you do is important for our community. Uh-huh. That's why we do it better when we do it together. And of course, you can always write down this number, 205-752-4800. That's 205-752-4800, and call into the show. Or maybe you're at work and that's cool and you can't call. I understand. Hey, go ahead and download that app because you can chat it up with me right on the app. Send me your questions, send me your comments, all of that. I'm reading it while I'm on the air. That's right. If you send it after, it's going to be the day after, right? But send it to me while I'm on the air. And guess what? We will announce it, or we will discuss it while we're on the radio. That's right. I just want to hear from you. Hey, follow me online. Go to Facebook. It's the only platform that I'm on. The Culture Call. Type that into the search bar. And all you got to do is push that up like button, and there you are a part of our online family. Absolutely. Hey, sit back and relax. Grab your coffee. You know how we do it, Maxwell House and Starbucks. Maybe coffee is not your thing. Hey, go ahead and get you some herbal tea, chamomile if you're trying to calm down, green tea if you need a little caffeine kick. Getting toward the lunchtime, you just need a little air edge. I get it. I know it. And you know you also can get that hibiscus tea. It's a red tea. Go ahead. It's good for whatever ails you. Absolutely. I need to find another tea so I can give to y'all. There's so many teas out there. I'm a kind of tea guy. So, hey, whatever. I love coffee as well. But maybe coffee and tea are not your things. Hey, you could always have some water, spring or alkaline. That's right. Go ahead and get hydrated. Wake those cells up. And come on, let's get into the culture. Listen, y'all. We are at the end of another month. And I hate that, because guess what? September is my month. It's my birthday month. Yay! I love it. But thank you to all of you, you know, who celebrated. All of my September babies, we rock. We got one more day. This is our last day in September, and then we got to make room for October, all the Libras and all those kinds of things. My kids were born. My twins were born in October, October 22nd. So I'm excited about that. Yeah, nonetheless. But yeah. So we're at the end of another month, and so much is going on in the world. And y'all, I need you. Let's take a woosah moment. Breathe deep. Let it out. Woosah. Yeah. Go ahead, because I know every day there is something that, man, if you get on social media, if you get on the news, all of those different kinds of things, hey, I'm telling you, It can be so, so very overwhelming. And so what I've been trying to do this entire month is to be very practical and very tactical about what our conversations are going to be like. I've got some great things coming up in this month, and actually for the remainder of the year, because somebody said, you haven't talked about relationships in a while and all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to try to fit that into my schedule. So you can hear exactly, you know, or get your questions answered or talk about, you know, the things that concern you, because I desperately want to do that. But this month we've been talking about poverty decisions, really attacking poverty as a community and really disconnecting some kind of ideological principles and mindsets that are affiliated or that society, the majority society, has tethered to, you know, black people, black community, all those different kinds of iterations, you know, attributes of violence, attributes of lack, attributes of paucity, attributes of, you know, not having enough, of being stealing and being incarcerated and all those different kinds of things. And we understand that that narratives matter. I do. Narratives really matter, especially when you're dealing with this country, this world, when you're dealing with this kind of media. This is why every day, you know, we used to be in a society where we didn't always hear about what was going on in the White House or what was going on in Congress, right? But because this country is now headed by, and this is the facts, by an entertainer, one of the things that they do is they understand branding, marketing, and the control of the narrative, right? Whether it is true or false, the objective is to flood the narrative to overwhelm people so that every day they'll be trying to decipher what is true and what is false. They'll be trying to go down deep dives to figure out you know, the information, all that, that one day it's one thing, and actually one 30 minutes, it's one thing, and another 30 minutes is another. You know, yesterday I was in the gym, and they had two stations on there, you know, that was Fox News, Fox Business. They also had MSNBC, what's the other one? CNN. And they had an array of other things. And so if you're not careful, even in your business places, right, you can get so overwhelmed at heart and in mind by constantly looking at what's happening, right? And see, because we live in the era of the 24-hour news cycle, TV never goes off, right? Radio never goes off, right? And so people have learned how to capitalize what just simply used to go off at 11 o'clock. You know, we'd hear the Star Spangled Banner, and then you could go to bed because all you were going to get was static. There is no more static. There is no more static. You can get TV and media from all around the world 24 hours a day. And I'm going simply with that because what it is designed to do is to flood your mentality, flood your psychology, right? And so I've gotten to the place now to, you know, one of the things I used to like is when I went to bed, kind of look at, you know, the old shows, Good Times, The Jeffersons, 227. I'm just that kind of guy. I love to scroll and look at movies and let the movie look at me because I know within 15 minutes, I'm gonna be knocked out. Right. But now what I've trended to do and what I've designed to do is to cut my TV off so my mind can rest. Because here is the truth of the matter is that even though you think you are asleep, your mind is still being registered with the TV being on. I mean, your body is still listening and your mind is still processing. Right. And so it's not really an environment where your body and your mind, your emotions, all those things begin to rest. No, your body is still at work because it's processing. Your brain is still processing information. Even though your eyes are not looking at it, your ears are still hearing it, right? And so it's very important that we understand that is the trend of the world. That's what's happening right now. That's the kind of country, that's the kind of globe that we live in. The world is like that. It just never shuts up. And so I was thinking about how can we land this plane this month, talking about poverty, talking about things that affect our community. And one of the things that I know I have not spoken about was this whole idea of decision making. I want to go and really understand. I want to talk about understanding the power of decisions and how that trends into our decisions. Are aligned with our belief systems, aligned sometimes with what we think is going on. The whole idea is that, you know, if you have if you keep thinking and thinking and thinking, that I have to do something with that information. And that is the thing. That's why it doesn't ever go off, because I'm trying to, or there are those who are trying to captivate your mind. Paul puts it like this in 2 Corinthians. They're trying to create strongholds in your mind, right? Then you wake up and you don't even know why you're thinking a certain way or choosing or deciding in a certain manner. And it's just not generational function or generational tethering. It is also what you have exposed yourself to, right? And so one of the things that is so very important for us to understand is that life is a sum total of the choices that we make, and every decision builds tomorrow's reality. Every decision that we make builds tomorrow's reality, right? And so our lives look like the decisions and the choices that we make, right? And I was teaching in Bible study last week, and I told them that part of the frustration of life is having to deal with regret. And regret often happens because in the moment of choosing or deciding, we really don't know all of the options that we have in every moment, right? And this is the danger of always having to make quick on the spot decisions, right? If you don't know how and learn how to process, if you don't know how to to be able to go through and extrapolate and explicate information. If you don't know who to shut down and shut out, if you don't know who to listen to, watch this, and who not to listen to, right? They will create, watch this, a faith that comes by hearing, and that those words will continue to foster and manifest and meditate in your mind, and you'll start deciding on that information. And so regret is the only time that does not leave you. Let me say it again, that when you make a bad decision or you don't choose the right opportunity or you just don't choose at all, don't decide at all, and then you go down the road, that moment is designed to never leave you. Regret is there to torment you. It is there. You ever have been in a place, culture call, where you chose a situation and that decision that you made haunted you probably about 5, 6, or 7 years, or even not even that long, right? Because regret is the time that sticks with you, because regret never introduces you or to all of your options, all of your opportunities, right? It causes you to, you got to decide now. Think about it. Let's talk real for just a moment. Think about it, that if you had understood all of your options, would your life be where it is now? Would you have married who you married? Would you be working at the place that you're working if you really knew all of your options that you could choose and decide from, right? If you knew all of the options, would you have talked to that person? Would you have been friends with him? Would you have been friends with her? Would that have been yours? Would you have told that person your secret if you really understood all of your options, right? But in that moment, your emotions and your feelings made you decide to share. I got to get somebody to talk to. And you open your mouth to the wrong person, and what you thought was spoken in a silo is now public information, not because you told it, but because you trusted the wrong person, right? And so I want you, as we talk about this, you know, understanding the power of decisions today, to really start thinking about and taking ownership of the choices you have and the decision you make with the choices that you have. That sometimes you have to sit and think about it. Yeah, I know you want to be married, sis, but guess what? Before you really say I do, before you take the ring, before you say I will marry you, you might need to sit down and just pay attention. Figure out all of your options, right? I'm not saying that you chose wrong. I'm not saying that you decided wrong. But what I am saying is, yeah, regret is a real thing. Sir, before you ask her to marry you, sit down. Don't do it yet. Before you go to K's and buy the ring, before you go to Reed's and look at the diamond, nah, just slow your roll, bro. And think about all of that which is going to be required of you. What does she bring to the whole measure? Do you ideologically agree? Do y'all have the same faith? Right? All of that. The text says to us, can two work together except they agree, right? Here is the deal. The word how is not in the text. It's not how can two walk together except they're in agreement. No, it's can two walk together except they agree. So here it is. The agreement is the mobility. We have to agree, then we can go. Right? Right? We have to agree first, then we go together. And so have you really, really sat down and measure the areas where you agree and don't agree? Have you really assessed? You've done a SWOT assessment, strength, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Have you really done that in every space and every place? Here it is. Because I'm telling you, decisions are like prisons. Decisions are shackles that either will propel you towards your future, fuel you to get there, or it will hinder you from seeing tomorrow. And so you've got to start thinking now that when I walk out this door, how do I look when I walk out the door? The decision, what I chose to wear, what I chose to do with this money, is it smart? Is it a wise decision? Right? Part of what I believe, and I believe this a long time, is that in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show, because it matters. It matters who you discuss your options with. If you discuss your options with a person who's never accomplished anything or has a poverty mindset, they will limit your options by vicariously living through you. In other words, they can't help you decide because, first of all, they're envious, perhaps, of your opportunities. They never took advantage of their opportunities. And misery does indeed what? Love company. So, Culture Call, you got to start thinking. Think about who I'm sharing. You might not need to get on that phone call and say, hey, I need to talk to you about something. No, you might need to. No. You know, I believe the hymn writer is right. Oh, what peace we often forfeit, and oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry what? Everything to God in prayer. I think that before you decide, the first person you need to talk to is God. You need to have a prayer life. You need to have some people, and he will direct you to who to speak to. He will tell you, yeah, but you can't, that, you know, Holy Spirit will tell you, you can't talk to her. No. You know, your discernment was like, nah, because here it is. You never take counsel or advice from someone that you wouldn't want to switch places with in life. Woo, that's a bar. Let me say it again. You never take counsel or advice from an individual that you would not want to switch places with in life. Right? So, you know, if your friend and your sister circle, all of them had two divorces and you trying to get married, then that circle is probably who you don't want to talk to. Because you ain't even in the game. If you're trying to keep your marriage and they be like, girl, see, and now watch this, you got to start thinking, do I want to switch places with this one? Do I want Roberta's life? Do I want Barbara's life? Do I want Ruth Ann's life? No, you don't. So then why are you taking advice from them? Why is that the decision? Why is that the choice you made? Right? That's very, very important. And so here's the deal. The whole idea is that God himself has given us a precious gift, right? The gift of choice and decision. That is a part of the Imago Dei. That is a part of the image of God within us, that he has given us the power to choose and the power to decide. Now, this is why I have to tell people, especially in my capacity as pastor and just as a person, that a lot of things that you try to blame God for, you can't. A lot of things you say that God did, he didn't. Because that was somebody's decision to do that. God didn't make them do that. He says in Deuteronomy 30 and 19, he says, I'm going to set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. You choose. And then he tells you what to choose. Choose life. But guess what? You've got to choose it. You've got to make the decision that that's my choice. That's the door that I want. Right? See, all of life, if you understand it, is like, let's make a deal. Right? There are various doors that are being set before you. You have to choose the door. And whatever you choose the door, whether it's a door that leads to a prize or a door that leads to a zonk, you can't come back and just say, oh, the devil made me do that. No. You can't say, God did that. All things work together. Okay. Yeah. And maybe so. God does take our trash and make it treasure, right? But that is a very manipulative and low frequency way to live, whereby you keep making bad decisions expecting God to bail you out. At some given instance, here's the truth, that even in the scripture, that he'll let you stay there to let you experience your own decisions so that you might learn how to make what? Better choices. And see, sometimes we don't like that. We don't like that because we have to have somebody to blame for the choices we make and the decisions that we follow. Destiny, purpose follows decisions. So I'm not going to use my decision to abort my purpose and my destiny, which means that I'm going to have to slow down. I'm going to have to slow down, right? I see it every day. We don't want to take responsibility for the choices we make, and we have to. We've got to make, we've got to be responsible. You know, for years I've been teaching people that God is not responsible for that which he does not sponsor. Wow. Let's try it again. That God is not responsible for that which he does not sponsor. If God didn't sponsor it, why are we trying to make him responsible for it? Oh, because he's sovereign. Oh, how does that work? You are, quite frankly, you are sovereign over your decisions too. Absolutely. Because here's the text. Since, you know, that the Bible says that God wishes that none would perish and that all would come to repentance. But guess what? There are some that are not going to come to repentance. You know why? Not because God did not ordain them to come to repentance. Not that God didn't provide the opportunity, but because they chose and decided. Right? This is not Calvinism, where God has already preselected and predetermined who will and who won't. Because if that be the case, then that's not the God of the Bible. That's the misinterpretation of religious people and ideological people who think that that's how this works. Absolutely. That's an issue of superiority. That's an issue that has fueled fundamentalism, that God has selected her and not that she can do everything right in life. But if God didn't select her, she would spend her life in damnation. And this person can do bad all their life, but because God selected them or elected them, that they will go. No, absolutely not. Y'all see how crazy that sounds? And that is the whole ideological and religious concept of supremacy and superiority. That God has already selected us to be better than everybody else. So no matter what we do, we're going to still go get in. And these people, no matter how good they are, they have been rejected by God, which, of course, no man can say. No man can say that. But see, it's these things. So what I'm trying to tell you is that when you're deciding and choosing in real time, slow your roll, sis. Take your time, bro. Hey. And survey exactly what your options are before you decide. Here it is. Life and is not the only option. Death is as well. Right? Good is not the only option. Evil is as well. It's from the very beginning. In the Bible, you say you believe. Good and evil. Right? There are two trees. They had an opportunity. They had a choice. And how come God didn't stop them? Man, I've sat in so many conversations that want to put the blame on God. No, it's not. God instructed them, told them what not to do. The question becomes is why did they choose that? Now humanity has to live with the choice. Then he sends Jesus so that we can make another choice, that we can make another decision. And so that's what we're going to be talking about. Understanding the power of decisions and how we as a community can make better decisions, better choices that will break and alleviate poverty from our community. But I need y'all to keep it right here on Praise 93.3 FM 790 WTSK, The Truth, right here on The Culture Call with your boy, L. Spencer Smith. Hey, we got a great show today. Don't you dare miss it.
This is a world premiere.
And we are back right here on The Culture Call, I'm telling you. And we're having a great day today. That's right. Talking about understanding the power of decisions. Hey, I need y'all to lock in and lean in as we have this discussion. Hey, listen. I need to make sure that y'all know that we are in our season of making decisions for the fall. And I had a friend of mine ask me, you know, I hear you say that a lot. What does it mean? That I believe that that what we're planting right now, we're going to see it and it's going to be the headspring of what happens for us in the new year. I do believe that the world will not end and we will have a January 1st, 2026. I know it may feel a little bit dystopian right now. I get it. I understand it. But I believe in my heart of hearts that we are going to see and have a 2026 January 1st, right? And if that is the case, then I believe that decisions and choices that we make now, yes, in these last 3 months, as it were, the decisions and choices that we make, we're going to see them at the head of the year, right? I believe that this is the season of the beginning of the Hebraic year. It's the season where we begin to celebrate new things and begin to reposture our lives. In other words, if you didn't like the last 9 months, the 10th, the 11th, and the 12th month, that you can begin to sow different decisions and create and to understand the choices that you have and cause your will to align divinely with God's will. I believe that. That's my belief. That's just not my faith talking, but that is just a deep core and sense of belief that I have within me that what I decide, what I choose matters, right? And I wanted to share that with you because I want you to hunker down. Part of my assignment as not just as a radio personality, but also as a pastor and an author, you know, as a scholar and all those different kinds. Part of my assignment is to make sure, I've been saying this, that we as a people are not late, last, and lost. And I say that first for my Jerusalem, right? And I said my Jerusalem, my household. If we're gonna appropriate the text in Acts chapter number 1, my Jerusalem, my household, my family, then my Judea, my community, yes, my Samaria, those who are not a part of my community, but they are adjacent to my community, which means all of my other brothers and sisters of other ethnicities and other socioeconomic backgrounds, etc., and then to the utmost parts of the world. That's how I view life. That's how I see life. I see it through that lens that I have a responsibility to my fellow man to speak truth. And sometimes truth has to be spoken to the powers that are within us, right? You know, when people say, well, we got to speak truth to power, cry loud and spare not, lift up your voice as a trumpet. They always think that crying loud and sparing not is to an opposing force, is to a governmental power, is to a principality, right? And to a lot of that degree, it can be rightly appropriated there as well and still be in context. But they very rarely speak to the structures, the frameworks, and the strongholds that are within them, themselves, right? And if we don't understand that it doesn't matter a lot of times what other people do, if you continue to have a life that chooses and decides incorrectly, then your choice, your decision will be your life's reflection, right? This is why when I talk to people, y'all, and I'm not telling you what to do, definitely not telling you what to do. But when I start, you know, advising people, you know, when I start doing that, I like to listen to their journey. I like to listen to the course and the pathways and the patterns of their choices and their decisions, because that gives me that sheds light on really what the discussion is, right? That, you know, a lot of times I don't have a chance to do that at the altar when they come, because that's when people normally come. But if they see me and they say, well, Pastor, I need to talk to you about X, Y, Z, and we set up a time, the first thing, I'm going to sit down, we're going to pray, and then I'm going to say, tell me your journey. Tell me what brings you here. Tell me how you got to my office. Tell me because of how I regard who I am and who God has made me, and because of how I regard the other people, I want to know the journey. Their journey will reveal to me what choices and decisions they have made that brings them to me. Because if they made choices and decisions that were not necessarily adverse, because sometimes people just need clarity and elucidation and, you know, on some of the things that's happening. It's not really bad. It's just process. Did you get that? That what's going on in their life is not really a storm. It's just a stage. Right? So I can't discern that if I don't have a conversation to talk about what they did to get to me, what they did to require this level of conversation. Why are we having this dialogic today? Why are we having these two, you know, why are we having this? And so it, because that will tell me at what place and time they made a particular decision to do a certain thing. Yeah? Does that make sense? Yeah. And so it's imperative then that as we talk about, you know, people say, well, you know, Pastor, sometimes you can sound mean or you can sound off-putting, but see, here's the deal. No. And I say, okay, first of all, anytime I speak, it is from a place of love, from a place of great love for people, a place of great love. I know how it is to struggle. I know how it is to not have what you need. I know how it is to not be able to not have a job and you got to feed your children and buy Pampers. I know what that is. See, people don't know your journey, so they assume that your now is not preceded by a struggle. I get it. I understand it. But I believe that everything that I went through in life when nobody knew my name was for a time now that God has given me the mic, the stage, and the platform. And so when I say to, you know, because I'm just, hey, listen, sis, let me tell you, I have been an educator. I have taught in the inner city. Hear me. I am telling you that the school system, a lot of times, not the school system, but the people that work in it have particular prejudices and they have a particular assumptions about certain people. So, sis, when you go to the school with your bonnet on, unkempt, no undergarment, right? And you don't present yourself like you've come to do business, automatically in their mind, it is triggered a certain level of behavior. See, when they see you come like that, they've already called the school resource officer. They've already got the, you know, security on alert because they don't know if they, that, here's the mindset. Here's why people get mad at me. Here's the mindset of those folks. They are thinking that if you chose to drive from your house to do serious business on behalf of your child, and this is the way that you chose to present yourself in this place of business in front of people, we don't know what you might do. Right? Now, push pause. Don't go any further. Now, you got to sit with what I just said. Don't genuflect to emotions and feelings. Sit with what I just said. Because guess what? You don't go to church like that. You don't go to your job like that. This is why they start putting on uniforms. That you don't go to, you know, the club like that. So that means you can make a decision in how you present yourself. And I'm telling you, they're already already walking into a room that has predefined and pre-labeled certain levels of presentations. Right? And so, yeah, you can feel some type of way about it, but truth hurts before it helps. And so in my great love for people, because I have been a teacher and I have seen how certain parents come in and I have seen how the office treats them, right? They don't care about your journey. They don't care about you just got off. No, what they know is that you're coming to meet with a teacher and fuss with a teacher. And this is how you come representing yourself and representing your child. That's the story. That's the narrative. And a lot of times our decisions, watch this, y'all. Y'all ready, Coach Cole? Loses control of the narrative. And you know why? Because sometimes we cater to our emotions and our feelings and our own perspectives as opposed to following the principle and understanding how I can decide a different way that will make them respond to me in the way that I want them to respond. I'm not saying that you got to come in a full dress or a three-piece suit, sir. I'm not saying, ma'am, that you got to have, you know, all your stuff in terms of in place of, you know, I'm not saying you can't be casual or business casual when you go. But what I am saying is that you can't roll out the bed and just go up there and because you it's at the bank. It's at restaurants. I mean, facts. It's everywhere you go, right? You can't get your paycheck and think about what the first thing you think about, rather than paying your bills, You can't get your paycheck and think about your hair or your nails or what you're going to wear or what you're going to put on your back or, you know, getting your rims and all that. You can't think. And I'm not saying that it's the whole of our community, but it's enough for me to address it. You can't think about that. And here it is. This is me talking to my folks. Hear me. Because, again, I'm telling you the way the world works. I'm telling you. And so you got to make a decision that I want to be taken seriously wherever I go. So therefore, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. And this is even where I struggle with some of in this generation now. And I tell the young people, let me tell you something. Y'all trying to go to jobs with jeans on and loose fitting clothes and stuff you wear in the street and you wear in the club, and you try to go and get an interview in that with a polo shirt and, you know, and not a tie, not a dress shirt, not some slacks, not a little business suit. You can go to TJ Maxx or Ross and set yourself up for that interview, because the way you enter that interview is how they're going to treat you. It's how they're going to look at your resume. Yeah. Facts. That's the facts. And at one point I said to myself, I wish that was different. But in another case, I get it. Well, Bishop, what if that's all clothes, all the clothes they have? Okay, I'm glad you said that. Then we as a community have a responsibility to rally around that person and prepare them, which means you can't live life in a silo. You can't live without community, because there's some girls like, yo, sis, I can't let you go to that interview like that. I can't let you go to school like that. No, we need you to get this job. Absolutely. So, hey, you might not have it, but come in my closet. We wear about the same size. Or let me take you somewhere. That's the power of community. Collective decision making, collective economics, that when one of us rise, we all rise. Facts. That's the truth. I am my brother and my sister's keeper. So I'm going to say, hey, we can do better than that. No, sis. No, you're not going out like that. You need your hair done. Hey, we'll see where you, how you can get in, but we're not going to do that. No. Because we have to care for one another. And I know that's a strange concept, living in this individualistic society. But the truth of the matter is, no man is an island. No man stands alone. We all need community. That's why I speak in a community context. Absolutely. You know, this is why we used to have babysitters in our community. My mom had to go to work. She sent me to Mama Ada. Mama Ada didn't have a job. Or she retired, rather, and I stayed with Mama Ada. Mama Ada kept me until my mom got off work. My little brother, you know, every morning we'd go to school, and he was too young. Mama had to work. She'd take him to Annie Mae, Miss Annie Mae. And that was his second mother. That's what we did. And we would pay Miss Annie Mae, and we would pay Mama Ada. We would do that because, yeah, we ate their food and all of that kind of stuff, and they took care of us. And so, again, we have to look out for each other. That's how that concept started out, that we couldn't afford daycare, as it were, at that time, you know? Because I didn't find out about daycare until, my goodness, and then we started putting our kids in daycare. I was like, loose here. Loose here. What is really going on? Daycare costs moolah, right? But see, those are investments that we have to make because we want our children to have a strong foundation for a better future. We were paving the way to Spelman and Morehouse and FAMU then. You see? But we had to sacrifice, and we had to make decisions for our family, for the greater good. Yeah. And so that's what I'm challenging you with. I don't want to just talk about money, and I don't want to just talk about where you live. I'm talking about the structural choices and decisions that frame and pave the how we live our lives from day to day. Yeah. We've got to stop making those decisions that work adversely against us. We have to, and that's not a black and white thing. That's not an Asian or Hispanic thing. That's a human thing. You know, that people, and that's why I say you got to be careful, because people have agendas with your mind. Oh, my goodness. People have agendas with your mind and your actions. Literally, people will tell you stuff and talk about stuff and feed it to you so that they can control your mind. That's the true witchcraft. That's the bewitching that Paul is talking about to the Galatian church. Who did bewitch you that you no longer obey the truth? Who are you listening to that twisted your mind to give you or to rob you of the true options that you really had to better yourself? Who? And that's a very valid question. Who? Who did that to you? And if we cannot answer those questions, we have to be careful, because those things leave us weakened to make decisions that will give us a better outcomes. It might be a slow outcome. That's why I tell you, a lot of times, sometimes people are not in a storm. They're in a stage. It's how you frame it. If you see that what you're going through is leading you to another place, and this is the place, or this is the situation or the stage that's going to give you the next platform of life, then, hey, stay in the storm. It's passing over. Hallelujah. Right? Listen, we're having a great conversation right here this morning on understanding the power of decisions right here on The Culture Call with your boy, L. Spencer Smith. I need y'all to keep it locked. Hey, go ahead and get you something to drink. Get you a pack of nabs. Get you a sandwich. Do something. But keep it locked right here on The Culture Call. And we are back. It's the top of the hour, 11 a.m. some change right here on Praise 93.3 FM 790 WTSK, The Culture Call with your boy L. Spencer Smith. Welcome to all of our second hour listeners. We've been having a great day, but we've been waiting on you to take your seat. Go ahead and buckle up. Hey, we're in the season of Cash Code. That's right. Hey, these numbers today, the numbers for this hour is 180. So you know what to do with that. Hey, do what you got to do and see if y'all can, you know, win some cash. Hey, and if you do, break your brother off a piece, right? Listen, I am saying to you, we are definitely in a season of abundance and blessings and favor and opportunity and access. And again, I say that understanding how dystopian it may look or may seem in our country. So much is going on. I tell you, it's a litany of things that we could talk about. But hey, on The Culture Call, we choose to give you an educational and positive perspective of your life and our community and what we can do to combat and to thrive, even in the seasons, again, where it seems like, man, prices are going up, things are not working in our favor, you know, jobs tightening up, and you need somebody to tell you, hey, things are going to get better. You just cannot give up. And so that's what I want to make sure that we understand, that we have to decide. Let me say it again. We have to make a decision to understand that we have choices and options to better our lives. That's right. In the midst of the storm, you have an umbrella. You've got shelter. And so you have to decide to utilize the umbrella and the shelter that you possess, right? So we've been talking about this whole idea of the power of decisions. And one of the things I was thinking about during the break is that no decision is made in isolation, right? I can understand if there is a big myth of my life, my choice. I get that. I understand what it means to have personal agency and to believe to some degree that your decision only affects you. But that's not really the truth. That every decision creates a ripple effect on your family, your community, and your legacy. You have to understand that, right? That, you know, one person's decision, introduce consequences for all of humanity, Adam. And that teaches us the objective lesson. That teaches us the appropriated lesson, that one person's decision has tremendous effect or tremendous outcomes for those that are connected to them. And it doesn't necessarily matter how close you are connected. I mean, there are various levels of effect, yes? But the ripple affects the outer water just as it affects, you know, just like it affects where the pebble or the stone or the disruption occurred, right? As science teaches us that. So when we make decisions, it's not just about you. Now, why do you bring that up, L? Glad that you asked. The reason why I bring that up is because I need you to slow down. I need you to really become a person that is serious about who you are as it relates to, you know, if I make this decision, who is this going to help? Who is this going to hurt? Who is this going to affect? If I make this decision, what opportunities will open up for me? What opportunities might close for me? Right? You got to slow down, because those are the things that are connected. Those are the things that are connected to every decision that you make. Every choice that you choose to make it's going to affect more people other than you. And I think that's part of, you know, when we talk about psychology and sometimes psychosis, when we talk about suicide iteration, when we talk about evil, when we talk about homicide and things of that nature, when we talk about, you know, things, simple things like having children out of wedlock, divorce, all of those things have rippling effects. Rippling effects. It's not just, yeah, you free, sir, but that child. That child is called to struggle without your presence. And, you know, sis, you got to see, you see how it starts rippling. Now you grow up and you're trying to have a family, but you got to deal with all this other repercussions. Right. And I told you at the top of the show, regret is the only time that does not leave you. Regret will replay a moment over and over and over again. Yeah. And so before I do this, what's going to be the outcome? What could be the possible outcomes? And that is you. Yes. I'm going to call it what it is. That is you using your prophetic nature that God has given all of us. Yes. That's you sitting down and projecting. Here is what might happen if I do this. If I do this with this person, here are the things that might happen. If I do this now with what I know, what I have currently have, here is the possible outcomes. And let me tell you the truth, Culture Call. That's how I teach sex and intimacy to kids. I say, yo, here's the deal. It's not enough for me as your pastor simply to say, here's a promise ring and you're gonna wear this ring until you get married. It's not enough to gain purity culture that you want to be sanctified and holy and you want to keep yourself and not explain to them the true core of the matter. The true core of the matter is that this, who you give yourself to, is the most important, probably one of the most important decisions that you make. Who you decide to bring somebody else in the future with, because that's really what the potential of what might happen. Who you decide to let into the recesses of your soul through your flesh and through your humanity is a great decision. Because in this moment, you literally become who they are. And so, it's no use when they get to the age and the stage whereby they can start engaging in the act, then you need to have the conversation. I don't want my child to know that. I don't want, because that might make them do it. That might make them want to do it. No, not if you explain it correctly. That God has given you something precious, a gift that you can never get back again. That once you give this to another individual, you can't ever what? Ungive it. And in some cases, in some ways, you will never be able to move on from that person. You will always remember them as a part of your life, especially if you have fruit or an offspring that is the result of that. You will never disconnect from them. That is a choice that you will have to live with. You see, I didn't mention anything about the Bible. I didn't mention anything about scripture. I didn't say anything about flee youthful fornication. And all of that is correct. But you have to put some meat on the bone. You got to understand why. You got to give. And we're in a generation where our children will say, well, explain that to me. And I want to explain it. Don't shield it from, you know, your children like it was shielded from you. And then you made a bad decision. You have to discover that truth on your own. That's not fair. Our job is to equip them. Sis, I know he look good, but what does he come with? Sir, I know she fine, but what is the baggage? Because the question is yeah, you marry her. You also saying that I want to live with her baggage. Marriage doesn't change baggage. Wow. Yeah. Marriage does not change baggage. No, absolutely not. It does not change the baggage that an individual, and soon you're going to forget about them brown eyes and curly hair, that deep, dark skin, that chocolate skin. You're going to forget about those lips, hips, and fingertips, and you're going to start all that's going to be prominent to you is what? The baggage. And now you got to pay for baggage. Right? If you're not a part of a membership or a mile, sky mile or whatever that is, you got to pay for baggage. And baggage is going up. It ain't cheap. I travel. I know. And so a lot of times, you see, your love didn't see the baggage. Your love didn't say and tell you the truth and say, yeah, bro, but she got this going on right now. And maybe you might need to hold off and give her some space to fix that. Pop the red balloon, bro. Sis, pop the balloon and say, let me give him some time to grow up in this area. And be honest. Hey, you know what? This could go somewhere, but I think we're stopped right now. Oh, why we stop? Okay, because here is the deal. Right? Red flags don't turn simply because you want that person. Red flags are red flags. Respect the flags. Address them. Because who they are now, they're going to become comfortably when you marry them. Uh-oh. Say it again. I will. Who they are now prior to marriage, that red flag is going to become comfortable once you say I do. Huh? And then that they're going to be less likely to discipline themselves out of that decision because what they're going to say, well, you accepted me and said I do when you knew I had it, right? And then you're going to come back and say, well, I thought your love, no sex, no nothing that you have is going to change that. It's that person's personal growth and decisions and choices that they got to make prior to. Period. Prior to, yes, dearly beloved, we all gathered here together, right? So, yeah. So if that person is somebody who you're attracted to, make a choice and a decision to bring some reins on that attraction and say, hey, hold it. Wait. Let me ask some questions because now, love becomes an economic decision. I told you all that. Love is not just a feeling. It's an economic decision. It's a decision of legacy. So a decision of inheritance. What you say to that individual is that however you come is what I'm willing to live with or work or help you work through. Now, if you bring it up and you say, hey, we got to work through this and you still marry them. Okay, hold it. Then you got to bring back to the place, no, say, we said we're going to work on this. I'm in your life to help you work on this. And I would work on it before I said I do, right? I would work on it before we have children. I would work on it while I still have options. I will help you work on it, sis, while I still have options. Let me say that again, because I don't think y'all in the back heard me. I will help you with this while I still have options, which means I don't want your ring yet. We ain't there yet, because this is a stumbling block for us. And see, all of these, yes, are poverty or prosperity decisions that you're making. No. No, I need you to figure out that first. I need you to figure that out first. That's what I need you to do. You're not going to take my ring? No. You ain't going to ask me to take your ring? No. Because you got this going on. You got all that going on. Well, I guess I'll find somebody. You know what? Guess what? These doors swing on welcome hinges. You are blessed when you come on here. And you are blessed when you go. But what we ain't going to do, what we are not going to do, is to act as if it does not matter. Because it does. And we need to stop acting like it does not matter. That decision will affect your life. Let me say it again. That decision will affect your life. Period. And I don't know how. I mean, and sometimes we are imprisoned because we don't do the pre-planning, the pre-work. The pre-understanding of, before I decide, let me see, let me understand what all of my options are. You know? Think about it. You see a 14-year-old young lady that has a baby by a 16-year-old boy. What in the world? Okay, first of all, we got to call a thing a thing. Number one, we're not in the same time and seasons of our foreparents. We're not. We're not in the same times and seasons as those that got married real young because they were trying to take care of farm or, you know, all these different kinds of things. That we are not in that. We're in a season where we have more options, more choices. So when you see 14 and 16, the first thing you want to do is ask the question. Well, first of all, there's some things you can assume. Number one, that they've not had appropriate conversations about options and they haven't, no. Or two, they didn't listen to the wisdom, because you still living with your mama, both of y'all. You're not old enough because you don't have a degree. You don't have any other kind of skill to get a job beyond minimum wage. Right? So already, this is starting in the hole, and every day it is getting deeper. You feel me? Every day, the hole is getting deeper. And that's because we cater to people's feelings instead of telling them the truth. I love my children enough to give them facts and truth. I tell them about my life. I tell them about my journey and all of that. Right? I tell them everything that, hey, okay, I had this, but I made this decision. And it caused me to go through this season. Right? And see, here's the deal. When you are truthful, that, you know, I think that's a part of what adults are for. that God gives us lessons through our lives and we gain through ages and stages that we share with the generation that's coming up underneath of our children, our nephews and nieces, and those who, you know, and we equip them so they can make better decisions. Not just to look at your life, but tell them the true, unfiltered narrative of your life, the struggles, the stresses, the sufferings, the pain, all of those things, because all of those threads make up who you are. And if you are not honest with them, if you're not truthful, if you're not engaging, you know, and that's something very important. That's something very, very important. And so I think it is it's imperative for us to have honest conversations to help others make better decisions. I think that's why God allows us to live as well. Proverbs 11 and 14 says, where there is no counsel, the people fall. And here it is. There's got to be a season where you get tired of falling. You get tired of failing. And the scripture tells us that the answer or the antidote to that is to gain counsel. And watch this. Understanding that evil communication corrupts good manners. So that if you're asking the wrong people, if you're asking those people who are in the same dysfunction that you find yourself in, or then you sometimes need to say, you know, I need to find somebody who made better decisions with their lives, and let me humble myself and ask them, let me sit at their feet, let me sit at their tutelage so that I won't make the same mistake with mine. You know, that's important. That is important. And here's what I really found out. It was really worse when you start dealing with religious people and church people, because they do such an amazing job of trying to cover up their tracks of life, cover up their journey, and to make themselves sound more saintly than the true narrative really is. And what they don't understand, it is a destructive force that works against our young people, because our young people don't have a legend map and or a key, or they cannot identify with people or with adults and generations prior to them to find and engage wisdom, because we act as if we ain't never done nothing. That is all covered under the blood. I get that from that extent. Yeah. But the reality is simply this. The reality is simply this, that sometimes you got to understand and say, hey, baby, let me sit down and talk to you. Son, come here. Let me holler at you, bro. I see it in your eye. What you talking about, Dad? No. Okay, here it is, bro. You my blood. You my seed. I know it. I can see it in your eye. I can see it when how you're dressing now. I can see it in you're growing up. And I know you're smelling yourself. If you ain't smelling yourself, I know you're seeing yourself. Things are changing. But let me talk about this change that you have to understand. With every change, there comes obligation and responsibility. So let me talk about the present change. I can't just afford to see you as my baby sitting up in the bassinet or in the nursery in the crib. No, you are a teenager now. You're gaining muscles now. You're defining. You're getting a little Adam's apple now. Your voices are deepening now. Baby girl, I see your body developing. Yeah. I see you. You want to take calls now. You're giggling now. So I know. I've been there, done that. Let me tell you how to truthfully, authentically, watch this word, and honestly navigate through the season so that you can make the best decisions for you. Let me help you prioritize your life. Right. Take off there. So that they can pull down the wall, take down the limitation, take down the things that's separating us. You got to do it. You know, my grandparents were like, not like that. Now my parents were, but not, and I spent a lot of time with my grandparents. My grandparents, especially my grandmother, you would listen. You would have thought she fell out of Jesus' lap. But the truth of the matter is, after she passed away, my mama started telling me the truth. I said, my God. All right, mother. Yeah. And so you do nothing by trying to whitewash or to make your biography antiseptic sterile. You do nothing for the next generation. That your tools and your struggles, your tactics, your falls, your failures, your mess ups, your successes and your achievements, all of them make up a life that you can share with the next generation to help them alleviate the pitfall. Period. Absolutely. Indeed. And so we've got to do a better job. We've got to do a better job. You feel me? We got to do a better job. So we got to be honest and help the next generation and even ourselves. And first of all, you got to recognize you made a bad decision. There are some things, Coach Cole, if I had to do it all over again, guess what? Your boy would. When I tell you, I would do it all over again. I'm talking about control, alternate, delete, tabula rasa, a blank slate. I would not do some things again. There are some people that I would choose not to ever meet or never engage because the what they brought to my life was not worth the, hey, how you doing? It was not worth it. What they left as the residue in my life was not worth it. Wasn't. The lesson, I would have loved to learn that lesson a different kind of way or maybe through a different kind of individual. Some of the people that I got advice from, I wish I could erase it. You hear me? You feel me? I wish I could erase it and erase it indeed. But alas, I can't. But I share that with my children so that while they're on their journey, guess what? They can make better decisions for themselves. And that's what we are here to do. Help each other make better decisions. Listen, I need y'all to keep it right here on the Culture Call. We've got a few more miles to go. Hey, we're almost to our destination. But go ahead, get more comfortable, strap in. There's more left where this came from.
This is a world premiere.
And we are back right here on the Culture Call with your boy L. Spencer Smith. I'm telling you, we have been having a great conversation today. Don't forget, download that app, hit me up on the chat, let me know what you're thinking about. Go to the webpage. That's right, let me know what you're thinking about. Just leave me a message, a comment on my webpage, on my Facebook page. That's it, right? The Culture Call. Go ahead, become a part, become a member, and leave me right on the wall. Leave me a message of what you think about our subject today, our topic. And yeah, I just want to engage because guess what? I think this is a very vital conversation that we need to have with our families, our children especially, and our community that, you know, about the power of decisions. Right now, there are people in this country that's fighting our ability to have, that desire. I'm trying to say this right so nobody gets offended. That they would rather you not have a decision or a choice. Let me just say that. That they're working actively so that they can set and game the rules so that you and I can no longer have a decision and a choice. But that decision and the choice is what makes us God-made. The very fact that we have been given, endowed with the ability to understand choices and make decisions that connect to definite endings, That's God wired us that way. And there are people now that are trying, if we don't agree and decide and choose how they want, they don't want anybody choosing and deciding. And that's, I don't know about y'all, but that's scary to me. That's real scary to me, you know? So, yeah. That's something that we got to think about, right? You know why? Because today shapes tomorrow. If you don't write anything else down, you know, and I know you're not in church and you're probably at work or you're in your car, you can't write anything down. But I need you to remember this. Today shapes tomorrow. And so if that be the case, if today shapes tomorrow, then I've got to look at today as a seed. Today is a seed that might elevate or wipe out the promise of a tomorrow. Right? Seed, time, harvest. What you do today will speak again tomorrow. And so we have to understand that. Decisions are seeds planted now that produce future harvest. And the question that you have to ask yourself, Coach Akal, is what kind of harvest do I want? Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You reap what you sow. You may not reap where you sow it. And sometimes I'm sure you won't reap when you sow it, but you will reap what you sow multiplied. And so you got to start thinking that every decision either compounds or restricts or expands your future. Today, there are men and women that are incarcerated. But there are some that are wrongly incarcerated. But the fact still remains, there are some that did some things that caused them to be put in the position as they are in. You know? And so that's imperative. That's very, very important that you think and that you know that. You see? And if you don't, then that is highly problematic. That it, that all, a lot of them could say, man, if I could go back again and not hang up with these people or not do this again or not say that again, X, Y, Z, A, B, C. I was at a police forum on the West Side on a couple of weeks ago, maybe about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And we were talking about, you know, how should people, and especially our youth, act and or react when they are stopped by the police. And one of the things that I brought out to them in that forum as we were talking with the officers is that because we live in the age of social media, because we live in the age of take your camera out and film it, and I get the principle of it. Please don't, the principle, I understand it. Because we live in that, right? That sometimes in our children's emotional feeling mind, they don't know how to strategize, and they don't know to make it home. They don't know to make a decision and let mom and dad handle it. That we can get a lawyer if you feel like you've been wrong or unjustly, you know, that we don't do justice on the street. That's why, think about it, that's what they want to happen now, justice on the street. No. And so you got to make a decision. You got to teach your children. You got to decide now that whatever they ask for, even if you did stop at the red light, even if you weren't going 85, even if it didn't happen, go ahead. You're a child. You're a teenager. This ain't a time to be whipping out your phone, trying to prove something and share it with your friends or post it on Facebook and Instagram for followers and likes. No, this is your life. So here's what I want you to do. Put that phone down. Or better yet, call me and tell the officer, hey, and we said this, tell the officer, I'm on the phone with my dad. I'm on the phone with my dad. So that right then and there, you're not by yourself. You got them, your parent listening to it. Yes, sir. No, sir. I don't care how you feel. Don't listen. Street justice is not a way to handle that. But they don't make good decisions. You got to make better decisions. Because that, when you make the right decision and that person, that officer, whoever, that person in authority abuses it, it works in your favor when you begin to move beyond that moment. Because that's what we want, you to move beyond that moment. But a lot of times, we're living in a generation where I got to prove, ain't nobody going to do it. It's not about punking you, son. Sis, it's not about punking you. It's about you making a choice to have, watch this, that will lead to another choice. That I may have, you know, gotten this ticket on 2059 or 15th Street or McFarland. I might have gotten this ticket, but this ain't the last time. I'm going to take this ticket to my parents and say, I did not do that. I did not say that. I'll expose it. And then you let someone else handle that. We got to teach our children how to do that. We got to definitely teach. You know? So that's what makes sense, if I can say it like that. That's a decision. Right? Hey, you need recommendations if you're going to go to college. If you're going to go to trade school. You gotta start thinking about what the harvest is gonna look like. What is the harvest that I want? You feel me? You gotta start thinking about the harvest that you want and start working from that perspective. This is what I want. This is the harvest I want. I want a good job. I want a good family. I want a good husband. I want a good wife. I want to have this kind of income, X, Y, Z. Start making decisions. Now, here it is. I'm not promising, and nobody really can, because none of us know the future to that level of exactitude. But what I can say is those decisions set you on the course of receiving the harvest that you desire. Right? And so, you know, I wanted to go to college. And my mom, you know, my mom was like, okay, hey, all right, but then you got to make sure that the teachers that you want recommendations from, that you're always kind. You're always respectful. You know? If you want this, then you got to do this. You know? Because this is the harvest you say you wanted. If that scholarship says you got to have 3 recommendations from teachers, somebody from the community, blah, 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 then you got to start making decisions like you want that harvest. You can't just sit back and think that your effervescent personality and who you are is going to win them over. No, that's the requirement. Somebody else got to speak for you. Somebody else has to testify for you. So that means that I got to be careful how I treat people. You see what I'm saying? Absolutely. And so I know sometimes we don't measure things like that, but that's the reality. That's the reality. We have to measure things exactly like that. We've got to move out of short-term gratification and start making decisions that will affect us years from now. Yeah? You got to start making decisions that will speak even when you're not in the room. That the decisions that you make now, that and how you treat people, those decisions will speak when you're not even in the same space. That person will like, you know what? I know a guy. I know a girl. I know a man. I know a woman. And I think they would be perfect for our company. I think that we would benefit if they hired us, or if we hired them, rather. That's imperative. That's important. Absolutely. And so if you don't start really thinking about what harvest do I want? I don't want my options to be limited in my future. I didn't live all this time not to curtail or to shorten my options. I want all the options available to me so that I can make a full decision on the kind of what? Future that I desire. It's imperative. You got to do it. You have to do it. And if you don't, then you can't come back and say, man, I told you, regret is the only time that does not expire. All other time is vapor. All other time are fleeting breezes in the wind. Fleeting fragrances in the wind, rather. But when you make a bad decision and you regret it, you could be imprisoned in one decision for the remainder of your life. And we got to start holding people accountable to those decisions so that they will understand, guess what, y'all? I might want to make a better decision. I might want to, you know, say something different. I might want to not go there with them. I might not want to hang out with these folks. I might not want to take counsel from them. Nah, I'm good. I don't need your advice. I'm good. You might not want to wear their armor because their armor didn't work for them. Not in this situation. Their armor did not work for them. So then why in the world are you subjecting yourself to wearing their armor? It didn't work for them. And if it didn't work for them, how in the world is it going to work for you? Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, we're about to land this plane, Culture Call, but I need y'all to keep it locked right here for just a minute with your boy, L. Spencer Smith, right here on the Culture Call. Praise 93.3 FM 790 WTSK. The truth. Keep it right here.
This is a world premiere.
Well, family, we've come to the end of another show, and I want to thank you all. Listen, because we could not do this without you being a part of the audience. Here it is. I want to make sure that what we talk about, we actually put into practice. You know, people talk a lot of game, but it's the practice, it's the action that really matters. And if we want to have better lives, if we want to set goals for our future, if we want to have a life now that lays a tremendous legacy and platform for who we can be tomorrow, then we've got to start thinking about and treasuring the power of our divine capacity to understand, discern choices, and make decisions. And I don't want you to lose that. I don't want you to lose that day by day. Everything that you do is another decision. Everything, every place that you go, everything that you do, every hello, every goodbye, all of that stuff, you got to make certain that as you're doing it, as you're living out that reality, that you understand that what I'm doing here is going to affect someone in my life or when I'm gone, that this decision that I'm making today is going to have lasting reverberations on key moments of my life. And you cannot abdicate that duty, that responsibility, that precious act of deciding. You got to be informed. You got to be knowledgeable. You got to have understanding. You got to be discerning. All of that goes into, Culture Call, making your next decision. Who you're going to date? Who you're going to say yes to? Who you're going to say no to? Who you're going to marry? The job that you take? The neighborhood that you live in? Your reactions and or your responses all have rippling effects of God's divine nature flowing out of you. And yes, I need you to mature, Culture Call. Why? Because I don't need you to live life thinking that, oh, God's going to bail me out of everything. He's going to fix it. Jesus is going to fix it by and by. Okay, here's the deal. That if you really love him and you really have the understanding that we are co-laborers with him, that we are partners together, kingdom agents for him, his dear children, then I don't want the backdrop or the safety net of my life to always be God bailing me out of bad decisions. Him always removing himself or always having to interject himself into something because I didn't do what I was supposed to do. You know, I have to take responsibility that I only get this one life on this side, and how I choose to live it, how I decide to function in it, speaks volumes. I'll say it again, volumes about who we are and what we really value in life. So today, I need you, you know, I don't normally give y'all homework, but today I want you to do some work and I want you to start sitting down and just really basking in the decision-making process of your life to really understand that, guess what, that if I decide here incorrectly, this could affect my children, it could affect my children's children. If I respond incorrect, if I go to my job and keep showing up late, or I respond to my supervisor in a way that's not respectful, and I know it because you deserve respect, so that's mutual as well. Because they can't have a business if they don't have employees. And if they keep disrespecting their employees, the word is going to get out and that business is going to crumble. But here's what I do want you to understand. But I understand what your decisions will determine the justice of the moment. And so you've got to start thinking beyond where you are and say, asking yourself, what kind of outcome, what kind of result, what kind of harvest do I want from this? And if I respond incorrectly, then it might leave me in a place of nurturing something that I wish I could get rid of. So start thinking about your options. Start teaching it to your children and your children's children, because that's very, 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 very important. You feel me? Absolutely. Listen, at the end of every phone call, my grandmama and my mama used to say, I love you a bushel. I love you a peck, and I love you a hug around the neck. Listen, y'all, this has been your boy, L. Spencer Smith, the Bishop, right? Right here on the Culture Call. Praise 93.3 FM, 790 WTSK, The Truth. Hoping and praying that you have an amazing and an awesome day. That's right. Love intentionally. Go out, make an impact. Embrace life. Go beyond the bad news, because the good news is that God is still on the throne. He's still on your side. He still favors you. Walk in that victory. Would you please make a decision? That's right. To walk in that. And I'll catch y'all on tomorrow. Y'all have a great day. Peace.